It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across a multitude of platforms. Make sure to watch us live 24/7 on the free Odyssey app, also on the BetMGM Network. And also, you can check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network and on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. You can watch us on YouTube TV, Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. And if you want to listen to us, you can go ahead and do so at Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, make sure you hit us up on social media. You can find me on Twitter at Femi Abebefe. Check me out on Instagram, Femi_Abebefe. You can check out the show on Twitter at You Better You Bet, and the entire network at BetMGM Network over on Twitter. You know, if you like our show, Bet Sweats, BetMGM Tonight, Daily Tip, all the shows that we have across the network, weekdays and weekends, once again, at BetMGM Network is where you want to be finding us. Also, we got the whole crew hanging with us here on this Monday. Everyone's back and everyone's ready to roll. We got Tyler Morales, Jake Hassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Sean Haw, Addie Bates, Nick Kostos. He joins us at the top of the hour with his thoughts on last night's wild Sunday night football game that saw the Bills stun the Ravens 41-40. Oh, we'll be talking about that game quite a bit on the show today. But as always, if you miss anything across these 4 hours, because we're going to do a lot of recapping what we saw over the weekend in the National Football League, make sure you check us out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, because we're doing such a kind favor to all of you guys, putting this out there for you to consume in on-demand fashion, the least you can do is subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. We have one guest who'll be joining us on the program today at 5:20 Eastern time. It's our BetMGM Network teammate, co-host of Bet Sweats with Joe Ostrowski. It is the great Sam Paniatovic, Sammy P, back with us here on YBYB. Sam does a great job from 9 to noon on Bet Sweats with Joe Ostrowski, co-host of You Better You Bet's Countdown to Kickoff Sundays from 11 to 1 Eastern with Nick Kostos, does awesome work for Fox Sports Digital, Bear Bets Podcast, Chicken Dinner Podcast. He's going to give us the betting recap on what we saw from week one in the National Football League. We still got one game to go tonight, which we'll talk about a little bit later on in this hour, but Sam will let us know and give us the recap of what we saw over the weekend in week one. And let's go ahead and get into it, because my goodness, what a game. What a freaking game last night. Sunday Night Football, Orchard Park, Bills beat the Ravens 41-40. It's one of those kinds of games that, like, you really do have to see to believe. Honestly, like, as fun a viewing experience that I've had over the last, like, 6 months in watching sports. Now, of course, I'm a little bit biased. Football is my favorite sport, and as great as some other games are, like Roland Garros or some of the NBA playoff games, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it just doesn't get me going like how a great football game can get me going. Like, I was right alongside Chris Collinsworth. I know last night on the NBC broadcast, he's going insane. It's like, oh, Lamar Jackson. Oh, Josh Allen. Like, I was there with him. I was texting with my brother, watching the game early on. Like, within one drive, I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. Like, this is going to be one of those kinds of games. And from minute one, I was enthralled. I could not leave the couch. My eyes were glued. An absolute banger of a game that involved the two last MVPs. The stars were shining. Like, Lamar was amazing. Josh Allen was amazing. Derrick Henry was amazing up until a certain point, which we'll get into during this segment. But, like, all of the stars that you wanted to see, all of the guys who were, like, on the poster when you think about the National Football League, those guys came and showed up big. But unfortunately, like we've said all summer long, once again, in a big game, and in this instance, a relatively big game since we're still in the regular season, the Baltimore Ravens come up short. I would say I can't believe it, but that would be a lie. And there was a reason why when we discussed this game all last week and every time it came up, hey, Femi, what do you like, Bills and the Ravens? I'm like, you know what? My head says that Baltimore should win, but I just don't want to bet it. I'm still scarred from last January. I'm scarred from the fumbles and the drop two-point conversion and all the nonsense that happened in the AFC divisional game in 2024. I'm scarred by the Ravens. And last night was just an ugly reminder once again of why we cannot trust the Baltimore Ravens. And this is what pisses me off about the Ravens. And I'll use that phrase, pisses me off, because the Ravens have so much talent. When you watch the Ravens, like, and they're clicking on all cylinders, they are an absolute force. I mean, we're all texting in our YBYB chat last night when Baltimore is just getting yards at will, explosives at will. I know Bill was texting, hey, the Ravens are a wagon. We're all texting back and forth, damn, this team looks really, really good. Like, we all see it. You don't need to be Vince Lombardi to recognize the Baltimore Ravens are amazing. I even tweeted it last night during the game. This was way before the collapse even began. I was like, it's really clear that the Baltimore Ravens are the best team in the league. I can't wait to see how they eliminate themselves in January. That was my tweet that people are still engaging with, by the way, right now. I don't know why everyone's still caught up in this one. I just thought it was like a basic opinion. Apparently, it resonated with a lot of people. But like, it's very, very clear in watching this team and how good they are in the run game, how good Lamar is in the passing game. Like, this on paper, pound for pound, is the best team in the National Football League. But then once again, you see why you cannot trust these guys. Because in my opinion, and this is going to come off very harsh, and it's going to come off very strong, and I think it's intended to be that way because it's the absolute 100% truth. The Baltimore Ravens are gutless cowards. Period. Gutless cowards. That is the Baltimore Ravens. Ever since it's been John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, this team cannot get it done in the big spots. And I don't know when that's going to change. Maybe they just get to the dance so many times, they get so many cracks at it that things just go their way and they finally have that breakthrough moment. Guess what? Sitting here right now on September 8th, I'm not going to be the guy that bets on it. And you can hold me to that. Because this time last year, I was telling everybody, I'm not falling for it. I'm not falling for it. And then we got to December, and then like a crack addict, I went back and I had a relapse and I fell for it and I got my heart broken in the divisional round. It's not happening this year. I'm not doing it. Because this Ravens team, with all of the stars, with all of the talent, they have championship level talent without championship level toughness. You cannot tell me that's a team that we saw last night that you feel comfortable putting your hard-earned money on to win multiple playoff games. You can't do it. And if you tell me that, I think you're a liar. And I think deep down, you know you're a liar if you believe in this Baltimore Ravens team to actually win multiple playoff games. Like, these guys dominated. 8.6 yards per play. Somehow they lost the game. Derrick Henry, he damn near averaged a first down. 9.4 yards per carry. They lost the game. Lamar Jackson, 11.7 yards per carry. And somehow the Baltimore Ravens lost the game. Now, if you were living under a rock and for some reason we're not glued to the TV like I was, like many of you out there listening and watching were, the Ravens really tricked the game off once we got early into the fourth quarter. So Baltimore goes up 40-25, and it was such a beautiful sequence, by the way, too. Lamar Jackson, under duress, ends up avoiding two Bills defenders, runs for like what felt like 80 yards, but ended up racking up like 20 yards in the actual box score. Like, boom, all right, Ravens cooking with gas. Next play, bang, Derrick Henry to the house, making Taylor Rapp, which I hate to throw shade to Taylor Rapp. He's from Bellingham, Washington. Hey, us Evergreen State guys, we stick together. Man, looked like he was running in molasses. Derrick Henry ran right by that dude like he was standing still. And then all of a sudden, you look at it, well, I guess that's a good night. I guess the Ravens are just going to win this game. Have you seen them play? And it starts with the special teams unit where easily it should be bang. Pin them right on the 1 yard line. Buffalo now has to go 99 yards, trailing by 15 in the fourth quarter. Oh no, I'm just going to jump on the football like it's a loose ball, like it's a fumble, and I'm going to slide into the end zone. Whoop-de-doo. Touchback. Bills get it on the 20, which at that point you might be thinking to yourself, hey, guess what? No big deal. Ravens still up by 15. Their offense can't be stopped. They're in good shape. They're on the road, up a couple scores. This can't go wrong. But boy, did it. It really did. Because what happens next? Buffalo marches down the field. They cut it to an 8-point game. All right, well, there's 3:10 left in the game. Baltimore surely should be able to run the clock out. I mean, they're only averaging about 10 yards per carry. How the hell will Buffalo get a stop? Here's how. Derrick Henry, who was unbelievable in the game, 169 yards on 18 carries, 2 touchdowns, goes out there trying to do the Heisman stiff arming. Bang, Ed Oliver rips the ball out of his hands. All of a sudden, the Buffalo Bills now on top of it. And now I'm thinking to myself, here we go again with the Baltimore Ravens. I'm texting back and forth, tweeting friends and everything. They're like, oh man, you're being harsh on Baltimore. I'm like, no, I'm not being harsh. Like, we're all going to see it in January. Maybe they win tonight, but we're all going to see it in January. They gave us a little bit of a preview of what January is going to look like last night in this collapse. So Henry fumbles the football. Buffalo then immediately scores, which in loss in all of this, by the way, and he's not getting a lot of flack, but he should be. What the hell is Ravens defensive coordinator Zach Orr doing? And I say this as somebody who literally bet the man to be assistant coach of the year prior to the start of the season. Like, that Ravens defense was horrendous last night. Like what is going on? Like, you're just making life easy for Josh Allen. He's able to break, contain, do whatever the hell he wants. Like, the Ravens defense, in the midst of this collapse, at a certain point, hey, we're also allowed to get a stop, guys. We can stop them. Did they stop them? No. Bills go on and score a touchdown. But the Ravens did get one stop where they missed the 2-point conversion. So Buffalo fails on the 2-point. So we're still sitting with a 40-38 game. What happens? All right, here we go. Like all of a sudden, Ravens, who could not be stopped, can't run the football all of a sudden. And it brings up a 4th-and-3. And here's where John Harbaugh gets the flack. Because 4th-and-3, 1:33 left in the game. You have to go for it. You have to, because at that point, field position does not matter. Possessing the football is what matters, because as we saw on the previous two drives, your defense, led by Zach Orr, was struggling. Your defense couldn't get stops. So do you really feel comfortable punting the ball back to Josh Allen, the reigning MVP, and saying, hey, we're going to get a stop. No problem. We should be good to go. I even looked at my wife, because at this point now she's glued to the game, because she had went upstairs when it was a 15-point game. She comes back downstairs after the Henry fumble. I said, honey, you need to sit down and watch this. This game has gone bat bleep crazy. Like, we need to watch this together. And on that third down play prior to the 4th-and-3 decision, I told her, I said, game on the line right here. If the Bills get the stop, Bills are going to win. If the Ravens get this first down, they obviously win the game, game over. I said, game on the line. It will be decided on this play. Bills get the stop. They come up with the 4th-and-3. Ravens decide to punt, letting that Bills defense off the hook. And then we all know what happened next. We all saw it coming. Here's explosive play down the field to Josh Palmer. Explosive play down the field. Like, we're bang, bang, bang. All of a sudden, here's Buffalo in field goal range, and now Baltimore's having to use their timeouts. Like, how do you get here? That whole field position? Oh, let's just punt the ball and rely on our defense. Bro, they just marched down the field hot knife through butter like you weren't even there. Like, there was no resistance. Like, that's how insane this was. And that's how bad of a decision it was from John Harbaugh, who in the midst of all of this Ravens collapsing over the last handful of years, seems to escape all of it. It all goes to Lamar. It all goes to the players like Mark Andrews. It all goes to these other guys. Somehow John Harbaugh, because he's got that dusty-ass Super Bowl ring from when Joe Flacco got hot, he gets to go ahead and escape all the criticism. This guy is standing on the sidelines like a deer in the headlights. Thank God his last name is Harbaugh. We'd be killing him if it wasn't a Harbaugh. Like, that's how bad of a decision that was. We've seen Bill Belichick go for it in his own territory going up against Peyton Manning. Because guess what? He knew Peyton Manning was going to go down the field and score a touchdown. You have to go for it when you have Lamar Jackson and you have Derrick Henry. Decides to punt. Bills go and get in the field goal range. Bills execute the fire drill. Bills walk off and win the game. Like, it was just so damn predictable that the Ravens collapse in a big spot once again. And the way I look at this, because I said it all last week, I said the loser of this game is a clear cross-off for me in the Super Bowl betting market. And damn it, I feel 100% confident in that opinion. I am crossing the Baltimore Ravens off of my Super Bowl betting portfolio. I will not put a single penny on this team to get it done, because as we outlined last week, the loser of this game was up against it, because now you're likely going to have to play both Buffalo and the Kansas City Chiefs in order to get to the Super Bowl. Based on the Ravens' track record under John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, those gutless cowards ain't going to get it done. Not this year, maybe not ever. Baltimore blew it last night. On the other side, we'll get to the other intriguing games throughout week one of the National Football League. Just getting started here on a Monday on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary. Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi and Bebefe hanging out with you guys on this Overreaction Monday, the Monday after the first Sunday slate in week one in the NFL. 40 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Costos with his thoughts on last night's wild and wacky Sunday night football game between the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. Bills, the victors, winning it 41-40. And I'll say this, I spent a lot of time, pretty much damn near all the time, talking about the Baltimore Ravens in the last segment. Did want to mention this about Buffalo. I mean, that's some big time resilience that they showed in the game. Now, it doesn't come without concern, but for Josh Allen, an incredible performance. 33 of 46, 394 through the air, 30 additional yards on the ground, 4 total touchdowns. Like, you want to put on the Superman cape and talk about that, put the team on my back? That's what Josh Allen did last night, because in some of those drives, it's like, oh, he's trying to target, checks notes, Ty Johnson. Like not like he's surrounded with the Monstars or anything like that. Josh Allen was wonderful in the game. I will say this, though, about Buffalo. The defense, and I even texted the guys this last night of watching the games, you got to be concerned with what's going on in the front seven. Like, they look small. They look like they can get pushed around. This week, they're playing this New York Jets team, where if you watch that Jets-Steelers game, which we're going to talk about here shortly, Jets can run the football. Like, you know, like just saying, like, I don't think Buffalo's going to lose the game, but Jets can run the ball now. And if they're not playing those run fits well and they're getting pushed around, maybe that game's a little bit more interesting, because the Buffalo Bills, their run defense is brutal. And they'll need to fix that if they want to fulfill these Super Bowl aspirations in 2025. But we'll get into much more of that all throughout the week. And we'll get into some of these awesome games that we saw yesterday as well, as we bring in our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman, who joins us each and every weekday here at 3:20 Eastern time. Bill, how was your NFL Sunday viewing experience yesterday, buddy? We're all the way back now, and it felt so damn good.
Like I told the crew, Femi, this is the first Monday of 21 of these glorious Mondays in a row reacting to NFL football. My viewing experience Sunday was awesome, had a lot of fun, won a couple bets, lost a couple bets, but I did win a bet on Sunday Night Football because I had Buffalo in the Super Bowl this year, decided to put my money where my mouth is. It looked bad.
Yeah.
It looked bad, but went oppo against Mr. Costos and yourself and came out on top.
It was a nice bet. I thought about it because I texted you guys before the game started, and I was like, I kind of want to bet the over because I want to like just root for insanity. I didn't bet it because I just, my day was decided by the Rams-Texans game. Didn't go in my favor. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to watch the game. It's a good enough game. I don't need to be like a junkie and have action on it. I'll just watch the game like a traditional fan, and I'll be entertained. And I was entertained, but part of me was like, damn it, should have bet that over. Because that bad boy landed on 81 after closing at 51.5. But we'll get more into that game all throughout the show. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know this afternoon?
Well, Femi, you spent the first segment talking about Sunday Night Football, and why not? That game was awesome, arguably going to be the game of the year when we look back in January. But we have plenty of other big-time games to talk about, so let's start with the Packers and Lions. Green Bay wins this one 27-13. It wasn't even that close. It was 27-6 until the final minute of the game. Lions offense really could do nothing all day. Packers jumped out early, didn't look back, and for their new star, Micah Parsons, everything is coming up, Micah.
I couldn't be more happy, you know, to get my first win in Lambeau, having amazing fans, just everything overall. Just it was just a one-on-one experience for me. And, you know, I told J-Lo that's our first win, and I can't wait to keep stacking. We got a long way to go.
There you go, Femi. Packers looking good, but I think more so, Lions look like they might have some issues.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers made me look good, you know? Like, I've been pounding this drum for the Packers all offseason saying, hey, this team is going to win the North. This team's going to win the NFC. I have the Packers in the Super Bowl. That was all said prior to them trading for Micah Parsons. And now that they have Micah Parsons, yeah, I'm going to keep saying that. I'm going to say it even louder. Green Bay was awesome yesterday. And I know, like, this division's so wide open, the NFC North. We're going to see two more of those teams tonight between Minnesota and Chicago. Like, you can make a case for all four to win the division. But, like, the Packers, now that they have a blue chip player at a premium position, like, think about this. Micah Parsons played 45% of the snaps. He was not out there like his usual, like 80% of the snaps or so. But even in a more diminished role, and as he's still working his way into game shape, you felt his presence every time he was on the field. Best believe Jared Goff felt Micah Parsons' presence anytime he dropped back and passed. Like, Parsons was unbelievable. And, like, the fan base is fired up. That crowd was absolutely insane. You felt it was a playoff game, the way the crowd was yelling and screaming with the defense on the field. And especially when Micah Parsons made the sack on Jared Goff, when he hunted him down like a lion hunting down a gazelle. Like, it was an insane atmosphere. And there's so much juice around this team. If they can hold serve at home and win these kinds of games, based on how the schedule sets up, Green Bay is going to be in a very, very advantageous spot in about 2 months or so. So Packers stock, that's all the way up. And oh, by the way, Jordan Love, a guy that I liked as kind of like a dark horse MVP, he was pretty damn good in the game as well. And also, by the way, he doesn't even have his full complement of weapons. Christian Watson's going to come back around Halloween. That's another field stretcher to add to this offense with Jaden Reed. And we didn't even really see Matthew Golden in the game yesterday. Like, the Packers have so much upside. I think Green Bay is going to be a force in the NFC. As for their counterparts from yesterday, I'm not going to hit the panic button. I'm not hitting the panic button on Detroit because I said this all offseason. I said, guys, this is going to be an adjustment period on the Detroit Lions. Guess what? Week one didn't look good. The Lions are still figuring things out. I think the Lions that you see in November and December will be much, much better than what you see in September and in October. Like, let's play this thing out. I trust in Dan Campbell. I trust in Brad Holmes, the general manager. The infrastructure is really strong in Detroit, and the talent is still very, very strong in Detroit. They'll work through these issues. But right now, yeah, are they vulnerable? Probably a little bit. You probably want to play them now versus in like December. That's for dang sure. But I think the Lions will be fine. I still have them as a playoff team. Goff looked atrocious, but hey, every now and then you get that kind of a Jared Goff game. I mean, it's not a great sign, but like, it's week one. Let's relax. I think this was more about Green Bay than it was about the Detroit Lions and them kind of regressing all the way out of the playoffs. No, I'm not there. Detroit will still be one of the final seven, but Green Bay, we're going to the moon, baby. Bill, hit me with the next game.
All right, Femi, just like everyone expected, the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the New York Jets in a shootout. 34-32, Chris Boswell puts the Steelers in front for good with 103 to go with a 60-yard field goal. Fields was awesome but couldn't do anything on the final drive. Aaron Rodgers throws four touchdowns, and if you listen to him after the game, certainly sounds like he might have had a little extra motivation in this one. So Aaron Rodgers said that he would be thrilled to beat anyone associated with the New York Jets. I mean, this game was a fun one from start to finish.
I was going to say the Rodgers silence was deafening there for a second. I was like, damn, Rodgers was real profound, huh? But Rodgers, I mean, he had like the smirk on his face, and you could see clearly this game meant a lot to him going up against the New York Jets and how things ended over these last couple of years. But I'll say this to Aaron Rodgers before we get to how he actually played. Like, bro, the New York Jets did everything you wanted, man. Like, I don't understand why you're so damn salty towards the New York Jets. Like, yes, the way things ended with Aaron Glenn, they didn't want you back. They told you see you later. I'm sure that was a very humbling experience. But outside of that, they let you hire your buddy Nathaniel Hackett. They let you bring in your dog, Alan Lazard. How about your A1, Randall Cobb? Like, the Jets damn near I'm surprised they didn't call David Bakhtiari. Like, the Jets brought all of your friends, and the Jets did whatever. They even last year, in a panic move, called up your old buddy, Devontae Adams, and traded for him. Like, how could you be mad about the Jets? They did whatever you wanted. All of that stuff aside, though, Rodgers looked pretty good in the game. Like, I will have to admit, Rodgers looked good. Now, this whole offseason, I felt that Rodgers would be an upgrade over what they had last year with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. In one game, seems to be the case, right? 4 touchdown passes, most that we've seen a Steeler throw since Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger's podcast is going on like year 4 at this point. It's been that long. Like, I thought Rodgers was really, really good. I thought the Jets...
Femi having a little bit of some internet issues here, talking about that Jets-Steelers game. Femi is back, so Femi, the floor is yours.
Of course, when I misspoke and said that Rodgers was on the Jets, the internet just said, you know what, you're done. We're cutting you off here, literally. but no, I thought the Steelers were really good on offense. Now, for the New York Jets, I thought they were good on offense, too, which surprised the hell out of me. I did not expect this. I'll put my hand up. This was my worst bet of the week. I bet under 38.5, and honestly, I felt the best about this game going under than any other bet, side total or prop all of week one. I thought this was going to be a low-scoring game, but got to give kudos to both offenses. The Jets with Justin Fields, one of his better games, like his EPA per play was incredibly high. I thought the Jets' run game was awesome. The offensive line didn't look like they missed a beat without Elijah Vera Tucker. I will say this, though, about both of these teams, there has to be concern about their defenses. Like, the both teams, the handicap was Steelers defense going to be really good. Jets defense was going to be really good. Both defenses stunk out loud. I don't know what happened. Maybe it's just week one wackiness, but just kind of keep that one in mind going forward. Steelers and Jets defenses down. Steelers and Jets offenses surprisingly up just after 1 week. Bill, hit me with the next game.
Femi, the Washington Commanders easily handled the New York Giants 21-6 yesterday. Story in this one, Giants offense, completely anemic. Russell Wilson was dreadful, 17 of 37 for 168 yards. After the game, head coach Brian Daboll wouldn't even commit to Russ as his starter in week two, but 24 hours later, he had made his decision.
We're going to get home, Pat. We're going to look at our game. Collectively, we all got to do better.
Is it safe to say that Russell is still your starter?
Yes. I mean, we're just right here after the game. I got confidence. We got to do better around overall. Coaches, players, around everybody. So, you know, we'll get focused and ready to go on.
Do you intend to start Russell Wilson this week?
Yes. Yep. In terms of making any of those decisions, really at any position or schematic changes, I'd like to, you know, do it with a clear head and watch the tape and – again, like I said yesterday, that game just doesn't fall on Russell Wilson.
So there you go, Femi. Russ is still under center, but for how long?
I mean, he can say whatever he wants to say and do whatever he wants to do. I just think we're delaying the inevitable. Russell Wilson is not the answer for Brian Daboll. And what's the question? The question is, can you save your job? Like, that's the question. And Russell Wilson is definitely not the answer. I don't know how many years we need to see this with Russell Wilson back there behind an offensive line that is a makeshift offensive line. Now, maybe with Andrew Thomas in the lineup, maybe it looks a little bit better, and maybe Russell Wilson will have a little bit more time to be productive. But like Russ, he's been burping the baby for like 3 years now. Like, that guy is dying to take sacks. And this is what we know about the Giants. Defensively, I think they're going to be pretty good. Offensively, it stinks out loud. So I thought it was a really, really poor performance. I'm more angry at myself, though, for not betting the Commanders, because by the time we got to the end of last week, I was telling Nick, I was telling Bill, and I even said it on the show as well, it just felt like the Giants were that dead dog walking. And it was very similar last year. We had the situation between Carolina and New Orleans where everyone was betting Carolina. Oh, road divisional underdog. They cover at this crazy rate. Look at the trends. Everyone was betting that with the Giants. Oh, road divisional dog. Commanders are supposed to regress. The Commanders kicked their ass, man. And the Washington didn't even play that well either. And they won by 15 points. Like, it just did not make sense. I don't know why I didn't bet the game. I was too busy being a chicken, and I passed the game. But for me, in totality, Ryan Daboll, get on with it, play Jackson Dart, and try to tap into that upside. Otherwise, you will be on the unemployment line sooner rather than later. Bill, hit me with the next game.
Femi, your Las Vegas Raiders beat the New England Patriots 20-13.
Oh, yeah,
Geno Smith throws for 362 yards. Ashton Gentry just 38 on the ground, but he does score a touchdown in his NFL debut. Pete Carroll becomes the oldest coach in NFL history on Sunday, and he earns himself a victory in his Raiders debut.
Can you feel it? Can you feel the culture being built? Can you feel the silver and black getting to their winning ways? Geno Smith told us. He said he came to Vegas to run the table. Well, Geno, in 1 week, bang, we're off to a good start. I was so locked in on this game because it was one of the few things I got right. Raiders plus the points, Raiders money line. Also bet the over in the game. That didn't work out. But like in terms of the side, the Raiders made me some money, and I absolutely love it. This team has the potential. You already see the Geno to Brock Bowers connection. It's PB&J. And thankfully, Brock Bowers' this knee injury that he suffered towards the end of yesterday's game, sounds like it was just precautionary keeping him out. He seems to be all good. He's fine. Great. We'll need that going forward. But like this is why I'm high on the Raiders, because there's no way in hell they can win that game with Gardner Minshew. There's no way in hell they can win that game with Aiden O'Connell. And based on what we saw this weekend, I think it's pretty safe to say that Geno Smith is the third best quarterback in the AFC West. I love the Raiders. I love Geno. I love this team to be the surprise team in the NFL this season. I feel like a broken record saying it, but I just want to say, just for those who might doubt or think that we're wavering, we ain't wavering. Silver and black is the way to go. And I love it that we're off to a good start. 1-0, baby. Let's go 1-0 next week in week two. On the other side, we'll do NFL quick hits, best of the rest from throughout the weekend here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary. Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on an Overreaction Monday, the Monday after week one in our Sunday slate in the National Football League. It's Femi Abebefe. This is You Better You Bet. This is the BetMGM Network. 20 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on last night's Sunday Night Football game. Bills 41, Ravens 40. What a game. Every time I say it out loud, I just like get a smile on my face because that was one hell of a game. In terms of like the side and the total, I wasn't invested. I obviously have some Josh Allen MVP stuff that I really wanted to see the Bills win to kind of kick that into overdrive here. Is, oh, by the way, Josh Allen is now your favorite at +310 at BetMGM. 17 weeks ago. We're not going to get too excited, but it was a good start for your boy in that betting market, also with the Jordan Love stuff as well. So looking solid in the MVP market, which we'll get into further depth a little bit later on this week when we break down some of the big movers in the NFL awards. Before we get to our NFL quick hits, though, I wanted to get to some of these other games that we had on the docket from yesterday. Let's set the table for tonight's game, Monday Night Football, because we have one game left in week one between the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears. And right now over at BetMGM, the Minnesota Vikings are a 1.5-point road favorite in the Windy City, the total sitting at 43.5. Now, this is going to be one of the great games, or at least one of the more interesting games, I should say. I don't know how great it's going to be, but it's going to be incredibly interesting. And I know Nick and I talked about this all throughout the offseason, saying, hey, if you could only watch one game of the week one slate, this would be the one. Because this is like one of the all-time fact-finding missions that we have to start off this NFL season. Like, think about it. We have J.J. McCarthy making his first NFL start. Missed all of last year due to that meniscus injury. Now we get to see J.J. McCarthy in a standalone game. All eyes on the former national championship winner at Michigan from a couple of years ago. What does this look like for Ben Johnson making his head coaching debut with Caleb Williams now in year two? There's some friction, I guess, apparently from the previous regime and Caleb Williams, what we learned over the weekend. But like, what is it going to look like? Because all the training camp reporting was, oh, there's struggles on the offense. And they got to the preseason. The offense is making strides. What's actually real? Well, we're going to find out tonight against a really good Minnesota defense led by just a freaking insane person at defensive coordinator in Brian Flores. So I can't wait to see the schematics, the chess match between these two teams. I think it's going to be a ton of fun. But from an injury standpoint, because we do have a handful of injuries that we need to kind of keep in mind before handicapping and betting this game, for Minnesota, you have their longtime safety Harrison Smith, who has an illness and has been ruled out for tonight's game. So Harrison Smith will not be in the secondary for the Vikings. On the Bears side, a couple of defenders who are on the wrong side of questionable. In fact, linebacker TJ Edwards is listed as doubtful, dealing with a hamstring injury. So don't expect TJ Edwards to be out there on the field for the Chicago defense and Dennis Allen. And then their cornerback, Kyler Gordon, injured his hamstring over the weekend. He is listed as questionable, but like kind of reading the tea leaves, doesn't look like this is going to go well for Kyler Gordon. He might miss this game, and maybe he's good to go for week two, week three. You never know with these hamstrings and these skill position guys. So a couple of injuries on the defensive side of the ball. But here's what everyone's betting with tonight's game. And I'm still kind of going back and forth in terms of what I want to do. I will have a bet, either side or total. Of course, Femi's Island will be in effect once again at 6:40 during the final segment of the show with the first TD scores. But as for what everyone else is doing over at BetMGM, 53% of the bets are on the Vikings laying the 1.5, but 60% of the handle is on the Bears taking the 1.5. 54% of the bets and 62% of the handle is on the under 43.5. You watch all of the games yesterday, only two of them going over the total. Jets, Steelers, surprise, surprise. And then last night's thriller in Buffalo between the Ravens and the Bills. Outside of that, all the games are going under. And now we have another divisional showdown, which we know like these divisional opponents, these games tend to be a little bit more lower scoring because of the familiarity between the two teams. So people liking the under for tonight's game. And then also you have 61% of the bets and 60% of the handle is on Bears money line. So a lot of the big bets and a lot of the tickets are on Chicago to win tonight. As for the player props, fifth most popular, you got Rome Odunze over 47.5 receiving yards. Fourth most popular, J.J. McCarthy, over 16.5 rushing yards. Third most popular, Colston Loveland, over 2.5 receptions at minus 165. Second most popular, Olamide Zaccheaus at over 18.5 receiving yards, minus 130. And then the most popular player prop at BetMGM, where we look to make it legendary, Caleb Williams, 25-plus rushing yards, minus 110. Most popular anytime TD score, I mean, should be no surprise. Justin Jefferson at plus 125. I will have actually a couple props. I do like that Caleb Williams look. I'm not going to do the rushing yards. Caleb Williams, anytime TD score, he's around 5-1. Just, I think they're going to incorporate his legs a little bit more. Now, we didn't see that much in the preseason because it's the preseason. You know, the result of the game doesn't matter. Why would you risk injury for something like that? Like, let's just try to accomplish the passing game concepts and we'll worry about the leg stuff once we get to the actual games. But I do think that whether it's from improv or designed like read option stuff, I think you're going to see Caleb Williams using his legs tonight. So I like the read from the betting masses of the over on the rushing yards, at least 25 plus rushing yards. But I like Caleb Williams to score a touchdown tonight. So 5-1, Caleb Williams will be a bet that I have placed. As for what I like with the side, I lean Bears. The more I think about this game, I thought I was going to end up on the Minnesota side a couple weeks ago, but man, J.J. McCarthy, I can't get past the fact that J.J. McCarthy is making his first career start on the road in primetime with a revved up crowd. The atmosphere is going to be insane. And also the cherry on top of the sundae, a brilliant defensive mind in Dennis Allen. That's the setup for your first NFL game. I love KOC. Like, you guys know, all the way back to last year, like, KOC is my dude. He made me a lot of money winning Coach of the Year. But, like, it's still McCarthy having to learn this stuff on the fly. And I know KOC is going to put him in the best situation possible because that's what he does for his quarterbacks. But, like, JJ is going to have to figure this stuff out during the play. What's Dennis Allen trying to do to me? What's that look? I've never seen that before. Rutgers never ran this against us when we were at Michigan. Like, I think it's going to be a little bit of an uphill climb for JJ McCarthy. So, if I had to bet the game, I'll probably put something small on it because it's the last game of the week and I just want something to sweat. Bears, plus 105, even money on the money line. As long as it's a plus sign, I do like Chicago. I don't want to lay a price on the Bears, but I will take like even money or better on the Bears to win tonight. I think Chicago gets it done and they start the year 1-0. All right, we got 5 minutes left in the segment. I want to get to some of the other games from yesterday in the National Football League with something that I like to call NFL Quick Hits. Easy enough, right? You understand what I'm trying to accomplish here. Quick takes on the rest of the games in the National Football League. And we'll start with the game in L.A., Rams beating the Texans. The Ramily take money from me as opposed to what happened last year. I was big on Houston. Rams win it 14-9. Just a really ugly football game. I was glued to this one because the Texans were probably my biggest position in yesterday's action. Had them plus three, had them on the money line, had Texans alts laying seven at like plus 350. Like, I was fully invested in Houston, and unfortunately, our fears came true. Houston has a big-time offensive line problem. Like, it is a massive, massive problem. If they don't get that corrected, this is a team that is a dead under the rest of the way. The defense is awesome, but the offense, they were living in third and nine or worse. Like, every time I looked up, third and 11, third and 12, third and 10. It's like, dude, can we ever get a third and three? And then on top of all of that, despite the struggles, they had a chance to win the game driving late. They were in Rams territory. And Dare Ogunbowale fumbles the football. Game over. Houston never gets it back. A very, very frustrating loss. Houston losing to the Los Angeles Rams. But Rams, kudos to them. Very, very unfortunate for yours truly. How about in the NFC South? Probably the most NFC South game ever. Falcons losing to the Buccaneers. Tampa gets it done 23-20. Baker Mayfield hitting Emeka Ibuka on the go-ahead touchdown with about 30 seconds left or so. Atlanta, I mean, just feels like a missed opportunity, right? Like, this team, if there was ever a chance to beat Tampa, it's without Tristan Wirfs, it's without Chris Godwin, and it's at home with a chance to get a leg up in your division, because New Orleans lost, Carolina lost. This is your chance to be 1-0 and have a one-game lead on the other teams. They blew that opportunity, and it looked like a lot of other Falcons games. I know they had injuries. Drake London, sounds like he'll be okay, but left the game yesterday. Boy, you got to try to pull that one out there, and the Falcons just could not get it done. How about the battle for Ohio? Bengals and the Browns. Cincinnati wins it 17-16. My biggest takeaway, the Bengals stink. And that's been my opinion all offseason. I watched the game yesterday. My wife had the Bengals in Survivor. She was dialed in. How about this? In a 60-minute game against the Cleveland Browns, the Cincinnati Bengals, juggernaut offense, whoa, 141 total yards. 2.9 yards per play. The Browns should have won the game. They were the better team. Unfortunately, the Browns have double agents at pass catcher. Those guys are dropping passes, and that's how Cincinnati won. And also, by the way, the Browns have a kicker who I'd never heard of, Schmidt, or whatever the hell his name is, miss an extra point, miss a 38-yard field goal. Bengals win 17-16. Oh, the Bengals defense. No, they suck. Like, the Bengals just got bailed out. Niners in the Seahawks. San Francisco wins 17-13. Ugly game, kind of similar to the Rams and Texans game. Niners had so many injuries at pass catcher. They lose George Kittle in the game. They lose Juwan Jennings in the game. I was not expecting a ton from that Niners offense, especially against a Seattle defense that's top notch. To me, it was more so Seattle. Mike McDonald opting to kick. Maybe you want to go for that one there next time there. But for the Niners, massive, massive win for San Francisco. The Miami Dolphins and the Indianapolis Colts. Colts get the win 33-8. Mike McDaniel should have been fired last year. That's my take on the game. Secondhand embarrassment for what Miami did. I could not believe it. They look like a team that did not have a training camp. The fact that they put that product out there, Mike McDaniel better be lucky he has his job here on this Monday. Titans and the Broncos. Denver wins it 20-12. I thought both teams set offensive football back. I expected that performance from Tennessee. Cam Ward, rookie, making his first start against that defense. Bo Nix and the Broncos? I got my eye on you guys. I've been saying it. Bo Nix, worst quarterback in the division. Denver, overrated. They had the turnovers. Maybe that's all the blame. But that Broncos offense stunk out loud against Tennessee. Jacksonville and Carolina. Jags get it done 26-10. Survivor, we move on to week two. My biggest takeaway. So much for the Bryce Young renaissance. Oh, look at his December. Bryce Young, what? The guy threw the ball out of bounds on a fourth and goal. Get the hell out of my face. And then finally, Cardinals and the Saints. Arizona wins it 20-13. I don't know what kind of virus Kyler Murray had, but the whole time I'm watching that game, we sure about the Cardinals being this improved team in 2025? Didn't look like it to me. Nick Costos joins us next with his thoughts on last night's Sunday Night Football game here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.